If you've noticed in all of these Proverbs, at least up to this point, there's a series of verses that precede the principle that's going to be taught. And the series of verses is kind of like a mom or dad trying to get the son or daughter's attention. Like, pay attention, I'm about to tell you something important, pay attention. And so there's a few verses like that in every single one of these principles that it precedes the principle. But Proverbs 7, same way. And we'll look at those, the first five verses, and then we'll probably cover the whole chapter tonight because that's what it's all about. But I'm not going to deal with every single verse particularly. But Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, here's sort of the preamble here. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. All right, let's pray. And we're going to talk about strange woman this evening in Proverbs chapter 7. Father, I pray that you would help us get what we need out of these verses. They're your words that you've given, and it's your revelation. It's your discernment, and pray that it would go where it needs to go in our hearts and minds. And thank you for the help this evening. Thank you for Betty and all the cooking and preparation she did for the fundraiser, for Miss Nikki, for the kids, and all the help. And Lord, thank you for a successful fundraiser, just to make some more money to pay for some more things going to camp, pay for camp, pay for vans, whatever it's going to go to. But thank you for that. Thank you for all the help with that. I pray this evening that you would you'd open up your words to us. I thank you for each soul that's here. And I pray that you would guide and direct our study this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So the first five verses, kind of like every single one of the principles, like I said, it starts off with the pay attention, listen, and I'm about to tell you something that you're going to need to know. And that's really what wisdom is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a companion, like he says, thou art my sister, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, call understanding thy kinswoman. And wisdom is supposed to be a companion, and it's talked about as a companion all through Proverbs. And it's a companion that keeps you away from, gives you discernment, keeps you away from trouble, unnecessary trouble. And some of these things you just don't know about unless somebody explains it to you. And some of these things that Proverbs talks about, and like the father talks about to the son and the mother talks about to the son, and they're just things that if you find yourself experimenting with them, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And so you need discernment so you don't ever enter into any of these problems. So Proverbs 7, you got the introduction of it. Make wisdom your kinswoman, make wisdom your companion. And then he's going to go into a little illustration. He's going to explain a story that typifies temptation in general, but it's also very, very specific to a type of sin that goes on, and like a carnal relationship. And so verse 6 starts the story off. He says this, he says, for at the window of my house, I look through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart, All right, a few things about that you probably could notice and would notice just reading here. Here's a man, he looks out the window and he sees a young man who is obviously, he's, you could say, not discerning. He's simple, the Bible says, but he's wise to do evil. It's kind of interesting. It's like you're a simple person. You don't know a whole lot about life, but what you do know about is you know how to get in trouble, and you know where to find trouble, and you know when to find trouble. And so he's Bible says passes through the street near her corner, so he knows where she is. He went the way to her house, and so he's sort of wandering around. And notice in verse 9, it's dark, and that characterizes a lot of sin that goes on in the dark, and that's sort of that's what people want. You know, they don't want to be seen. They don't want their shame to be exposed. They don't want people to know what they're doing, particularly in these sinful situations here. And so that's Jesus Christ talks about that in John. He says that men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. That's what they wanted to be surrounded by darkness because they didn't want the sin to be exposed. And so that's what he does. He does this at night. And you may find out, and you probably have found out, that nighttime can be a bad time for temptation. And it can be a time when you're wore down and when you're just like tired, and that's when stuff starts showing up that probably shouldn't show up. Maybe stuff that's stuff you're watching, people you're talking to, just stuff that shows up at night that it wouldn't show up normally in the daytime. And so he finds where she is, he walks around where she is, and it's in the evening, and it's in the darkness, and that's a characterization of sin. And he does this. It says in verse 10, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. So he's drawn away, like the Bible says, of his own lusts. He may be a fool, like it said, the Bible says earlier. He may be a fool and simple. But like I said, he's very much in touch with his lusts. He understands where to find the trouble and where to get into trouble. And there is the opportunity for trouble. Here's this lady that's dressed as a harlot, and appearances, you can say what you want to about appearances and things like that. The Bible says, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And so not only do you not want to do evil, but you don't want to look like you're doing evil either. And so, because you have a testimony, if you're saved, you got a testimony, you've got a God that you're serving, and so you don't want to be confused with people who are doing the wrong thing. And so it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. There's that verse in Samuel where Samuel says that famous, man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. And a lot of folks you take that and you say, well, the heart's the only thing that matters, but it's not true. The heart's not the only thing that matters because men can't see the heart. They can only see what you are and what you look like and what you do and how you act. And so I can't see your heart. So what I have to go on and what you have to go on is your behavior and the way you are. And so you can play it off like, well, the heart's the only thing that matters, and it doesn't matter if I'm look bad appear to be doing evil. It's just my heart that matters, and God judges my heart and all that stuff. Well, that's not that verse. That's not what that's talking about. It means men look on the outward appearance, what they look at, because that's all they have to look at. And this lady in Proverbs 7 understands that. So she dresses appropriately to attract attention. And so that's what she does. And she gets his attention. And characteristics to all that. So she has the attire of a harlot. She caught his attention with her appearance, and he looked, And he's looking, and so he's interested now, and she's portraying the truth that she's interested too. And so now, verse 11, she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in every corner. So there's some, this parenthesis, there's a little, I don't know, what do you call it, just a comparison to be made. It says she's loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. I'm going to give you a New Testament comparison to this lady. And look in Titus chapter 2. There's someone who takes care of their home, and then there's someone who doesn't take care of their home like this lady. Titus chapter 2, this is the opposite of this lady in Proverbs 7. In Proverbs 7, you had her feet abide not in her house. In Titus chapter 2, says this, verse 3, says the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. That's the opposite of what you just read in Proverbs 7. Discreet is the opposite of loud and stubborn. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. That's the opposite of someone who doesn't abide in the home. To be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And the point is, there's a testimony to be kept. And so here's the opposite of what you just read about in Proverbs 7. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 is the opposite of what you read about in Proverbs 7. So just a note, that was in parentheses in Proverbs 7. You can go back over there to Proverbs 7 and we'll keep reading. Because these are all descriptions of this lady that is tempting this young man, and he's looking and she's looking, and so their mutual lusts have come together. And verse 13, Proverbs 7:13 says, so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, have I paid my vows. An impudent. Anybody know what impudent means? Got any ideas? Impudent? Impudent is like shameless. It's shameless. It means shameless, like lacking modesty. It is like bold with contempt for others. It's just a shameless contempt for others. So she caught him, she kissed him, with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. And I mean, the whole thing is going to be a trap. It's just a setup for him. And so the kiss is a lie. The offerings are a lie. The idea that she came looking for him is a lie. But we talked about that a couple weeks ago. The flattery is just... it's really tough for this young man to get over. You know, she says, you're the one I was looking for. I came out here just for you. I prepared everything just for you. And he's just like, oh man, I'm the one. It's, yeah, I'm the man. And he doesn't realize, like you said, she says that to every guy. She told that to everybody. And so he's just caught up in this world and her world now. And she just makes this whole fling sound so appealing. It's all prepared. I was looking for you. I found you. She kisses him, and it's just like, you know, everything's prepared. Then verse 16, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I mean, this is just, it's over the top. It's great. This is not going to cost you anything. It's going to be a fun night out. You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, you know, and it's all that. And so, she's just building this whole thing up, and he is bought into it. And this is temptation. This is the way temptation is. I mean, it's flattering. It draws you out with your own lust. You've already got something inside you that wants this. And now the opportunity has now presented itself. And now the opportunity in the form of this lady is she's presented herself. And I mean, it's all there. And he is eating it up here. Verse 18. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. And so all of this stuff, I mean, it's one lie after another. And this young man just goes deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole. And he's caught up in it. You'll notice people talk about consenting adults. That consenting adults doesn't matter if God doesn't consent to the activity. If God gives instructions about how things are supposed to be done, that's what he expects. And so if two people agree that it should be done different than God, it doesn't matter. The Lord's commandments, the Lord's words, the way he's created things, the way he's put it all together, that's what works and that's what's right. But you have these two consenting adults. Apparently she's married, but her husband, she says, not going to be around. The point is we can do this. No one will ever find out. And it's going to be secret. No one will ever know about this. And look in verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He's in it. He's completely sucked in now. I mean, she said the right thing. She's dressed the right way. She's made this so appealing. I mean, there's no way he's going to turn this down. No way he's turning this down. And so she breaks him down with flattery. She breaks him down with lies. She breaks him down with promises. And not that she's only at fault. He's looking for this. He went out looking for this. And this is what he found because he was looking for it. So, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And it just sounds like the voice of the lust of the flesh and temptation and the way temptation plays in your mind, and it's just so appealing, and it just sounds like, you know, there's not going to be any cost to it. It's look, like we said last time, the way temptation works, it's just one more time. It's just one more time. Just one more time, I promise, and we'll never do it again. Just one more time. Just this last hit. I mean, and we'll never do it again. And you'll stop, and you won't do it again. And that one more time turns into another time, turns into another time. And before you know it, you turn around, you look at your life, and you're addicted to this thing, and it has you, and you're in bondage to it, and that's what you're serving. Now you're serving this lust, or you're serving this drug, or you're serving this lifestyle, and that's what you're service to. But you were promised it wasn't going to last that long. I mean, it would just be one time, and you know what? No one will know, and that turns into more and more and more and more depravity, and more and more connection to this sin. So she forced him with her speech. He yields. And this is a description of his giving in to the temptation. This is his description. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway, and as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. She set the trap. He was looking for it. And where temptation met opportunity, now you have lust that when it is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And so what he is now in this position is he is just like an animal that's been caged. He's just like an animal that's at the, I mean, feeding before the slaughter. That's what he has now become. And all that's left in this whole scenario is him to be slaughtered. All that's left for in this whole scenario is the death of the animal. Because you put the feed out so you could shoot the animal. You put the trap out so you could kill the animal. Well, now the trap is set. Now the trap has been sprung. Now there's a victim in it. And now what's left is just to kill the animal. So it says in verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. It's like that verse in Timothy that Paul says. He talks about, I know we've talked about that one before too, but he talks about they that are taken captive by the devil at his own will. And it sounds kind of like you don't have a choice in it, but the reality is you did have a choice in it. You made a choice, but once you are caught in the trap, you don't have a choice anymore. Like the animal was hungry, and so it went over to feed, and then it got caught in a trap, and it didn't want to be caught in a trap, but now it's caught in a trap. And it looks around, and it's scared now. It's like, I'm in this trap, but I don't want to be in this trap. But the way I got here is I followed my appetites. I followed my lusts. And now, like Paul said in Timothy, he said, so the devil just springs the snare. He just springs the trap. He just catches you at his own will. And so you made the decision to follow your lust, and then he makes the decision on when he springs the trap and when he catches you. And then once you're in the trap, it's his decision what to do with you. So this is this scenario and this young man and what's happened in his life. And what you realize is what's said in verses 22, 23, 24, 25, that's all the stuff she didn't tell him. She told him some things, but she didn't tell him this story. She didn't tell him this was what's going on. And so you got her side of the story and her side of the presentation in verses like, I don't know, verses like 12, 13 through 20. And then in verses 22, 23, 24, that's the part that she doesn't tell him. So here he is. He's a servant now. He is addicted to this. He's caught, and all that's left is for him to die. And it's a horrible situation, that whole dart strike through his liver thing. It's like he's waiting to be stabbed or shot like an animal. And he's caged like an animal. And so here's the instruction. After all this scenario that's laid out very plainly and with very much detail in Proverbs 7, here's the lesson from the whole thing. Verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Verse 24 and 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways. The whole thing starts in the heart. The heart wants something. It has this desire. It wants something. And the young man, he's looking. And so he goes out at night, and he may not be the brightest guy, but he knows where to find bad stuff. And he knows where to get in trouble. And he may not be super smart or real intelligent, but he's wise to do evil. So he goes out at night, and he knows where to find the trouble. And so his heart has moved in that direction. And it was facing in that direction, and now his body's moved in that direction, and now his life has moved in that direction. And going back, and you trace back those steps, and you find out when the heart moves, and when the heart moves in this direction, that's the thing. That's why he says over and over in Proverbs, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put a guard on your heart, because if it gets to this point, you're taken. If it gets to this point, you no longer make the choices. So guard your heart. Guard your heart by what you see, what you hear. Keep a protection around that thing, because verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Many. Remember when she said, you were the only one? You weren't the only one. Remember when she said, you were the one she was looking for? You weren't the one she was looking for. Many have gone down this path. She hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So the instruction is, guard your heart. You keep playing with lust, and you're going to be burned by it. You read that in the last chapter. You can't keep playing with this stuff, and it's not going to hurt you. He says, flee fornication. Flee. Like Joseph, flee. Get away from it. Protect your heart. Don't meddle with it. Don't play with it. Corinthians, he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 2 Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is just one of those things that you can't play with and not get burned by. It's one of those things that it's not something you pray about, it's something you get away from. There's a couple things in the Bible where he says, this thing, you just need to flee. You have to get away from it. This is not a matter of experimentation or education. This is a matter of, look, you know what you're doing. And you know what the opportunity is. And you know what you're getting into. So the instruction is, you need to get away from this. You don't need to be educated about it. You don't need to be experimenting with it. You just need to get away from it. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in this position, or you'll find yourself as some adult addicted to something that you didn't want to be addicted to. And you got that from your teenage years. And this stuff happens all the time. And so this is the warning. Get away from it. Don't mess with it. Don't let your heart move in that direction. Put some guards around your heart so you don't start encroaching or just taking steps in that direction. Guard your heart. Flee, like Joseph. Flee also youthful lust. Flee fornication. He says another place, flee idolatry. A few things in the Bible he says to just flee. You just need to flee and get away from it. So that's an illustration, a good illustration of temptation, how it works in people's minds and hearts, and how it lures people in. And so it's a very graphic, really, illustration of something, the deceitful lusts of the flesh. So I hope it's helpful. It's a pretty detailed description of this whole scenario where lust is conceived and brings forth sin, and when sin is done, it brings forth death. And that's a pretty good description of it. So. Let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray that you would help us make the application. Help us find in our own lives these areas where the heart has moved in a direction it shouldn't move. I pray we would be honest about those things. I think the problem is we just don't take the consequences seriously. But I pray you'd help us do that with this warning. It's a good warning. It's an instruction. It's your instruction. And so I pray we take it to heart, what you've said here. Thank you again for all of the help with the fundraiser. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And I pray we'd get what we need from you out of these words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.